Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coach Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to your purpose, to your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each weekday morning, Monday through Friday. Tune in for a lesson, a tool, a tip, or a strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only what you ought to be doing in your life, but exactly where you should be going and how you should be getting there. So stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. Don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. Now get that pen, that pencil, that paper out. Get ready to take lots of notes. Get ready to go to another level in your life. If you would like to speak to Coach Lalisa after the show, go to www.coachlalisa.com and join our mailing list so that you can stay up on all of the happenings. All right, if you're ready to go, we're going to go right into the show right now. Righty. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, 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 welcome to the Lalisa Show. Hi, I'm Lalisa J. Williams, also known as Coach Lalisa, but soon to be known as the Transform Expert. That's right. Today our show is How to Transform Your Life. Now, maybe you don't need this message, but maybe you work with people who are in the desperate need of transforming their lives. Then this definitely is a show for you. It's a show you want to stay tuned to. It's a show where you want to get some information that can really, really help you. Now, the statistics on people that need to transform their lives are very all around you, basically. You can watch the TV news. You can watch the social media news. You can read the newspapers. You can pretty much just do almost anything, and you will soon realize that there are a lot of people that need their lives transformed. And so what are some of the areas where people need to transform their lives? It could be they need to transform their financial life. Maybe people are in a financial slump. They're in financial bondage. I know about that. Been there, done that. And maybe people are in relationship bondage or relationship deficit. There are a lot of people walking around with relationship problems. And I'm not just talking about male and female intimate relationships where people are trying to be in a relationship, like in lovers, or so to speak. No, there are people who just can't get along with other people. They don't, in other words, they don't know how to be in right relationships. So that could be another issue where people could experience some transformation or need transformation. And then there's health. There's the health transformation. There are people who have health issues, whether it be high blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, mental health, the physical health. There's a lot of health areas where people need transformation. And if that is not, if you don't believe that, just do a quick search in your city, your state, your country on the amount of medical centers and hospitals. As a matter of fact, if you're in the United States, it's been well documented and well announced that the healthcare field is the fastest growing field and has been for a while. And sometimes healthcare is the only field that grows. So, yes, so that's another area in the health area where people need transformation. Then there's the whole spiritual transformation. That's a big one. That's a big one. You know, a lot of people, they don't care about their own lives. So certainly they don't care about anybody else's. I mean, that's like human existence 101. If you don't care about yourself, then pretty much you probably don't care about anybody else. And then there are some people who do care about other people, but their own lives are just falling raggedy apart. And that shouldn't be so. Spiritually, you need to have the spiritual transformation. Sometimes people don't have that experience where they know that there is a God, there is someone greater than them, there is someone who knows more and is doing more and is able to do things for you. So this transforming light, and then there are people with the not just health transformations, but there are people who may need a wellness transformation. Okay, so health, wellness certainly falls under the umbrella of health. I would definitely say that. But I would say wellness just could be like, you know, just that emotional wellness. Like you're okay with how you're feeling. You're not on an emotional roller coaster. I've been on those. They aren't that fun. It's not as fun as going to, say, Great Adventures or King's Dominion, or if you're from Cincinnati like I am, maybe you went to King's Island. So those roller coasters, they're pretty fun. But personal, emotional roller coasters, not so fun. Not so much, okay? So that could be an area. So the whole wellness. And then there's the whole, you know, the wellness that has to do with, you may not have a high blood pressure or heart type of problem, but, you know, the lack of energy can end up being a wellness problem. And if we're not exercising, the lack of exercise can lead to some various illnesses. Something I didn't know or didn't think about, and didn't know it and then didn't think about it, was that, do you know that exercise helps to build up the immune system? And what happens with the immune system? The immune system, it's God's strategy to give us, to help us fight off various diseases, okay? So we can get our immune system built up other ways, whether it's through eating the proper vitamins, minerals, and those types of things. But it, can you believe it? Exercise? I never knew that. No wonder when we were children, our parents used to allow us to run around and go outside and run around, jump rope, play hopscotch. I don't even know if kids still do those kinds of things. I mean, I know they do jump rope as a sport, but we didn't do it as a sport. We did it for fun. We just went out. That's what we woke up. We woke up and the rope was like right by our bed. And me and my four sisters, we never had to go outside and look for, you know, who's going to turn the rope for us. We had our own turners. We had permanent turners. And, you know, we couldn't wait till the younger one got old enough for you to hand over the reins to them and you teach the person under you how to turn because you wanted to jump, right? So, you know, Jan would do most of the jumping and Beverly and I did the turning. But as soon as Holly came along, then, you know, Holly had to learn how to turn so that me and Jan could jump and Holly and Cookie could turn, and then Hope came along, and then, you know, me, Cookie, and Jan could jump, and Hope and Holly had to be the turners, and then we would take turns, of course, you know, when my mother would come outside. You better let so-and-so-and-so jump that rope, you know, and that's what you got in trouble for back in the day, for not letting your sibling jump rope. And then we played jacks. Now, that was our hand dexterity, our hand-eye coordination, you know, jumping rope gave us that rhythm. you know, because you had to do that little bouncy situation before you got in there. And in order to keep it going, you had to have a little rhythm, you know. And especially when it came to jumping French. Oh, yeah, now, see, that's what helped us get out on that dance floor, was that jumping French, you know. We didn't have, like, these kids today have twerking and what have you. I don't know how these kids get their rhythm, but we got our rhythm. We had the jump rope. You know, you had the hopscotch, which also was some hand-eye coordination and things like that, because you had to see where, and it was also a little bit with vision, a little strategy in hopscotch as well, because you had to kind of try to strategize which way you were going to hop on that foot, and, you know, you had to hold your hip a certain way so that you didn't fall, you know. And same thing with playing jacks. This was one of my favorite. Because jacks, you definitely learned how to count early. So there were, I think there were like 10 jacks. And you could do one, and you had to pick up two, then you had to pick up three. So you had to be able to count. And you had to take turns. So it was a lot of team building. You know, had a lot of sharing because you had to take turns. These days, a lot of kids play these games on these handheld phones, and they play by themselves. But though I know some kids do play with others, and they even play with kids from around the country and the world. So they can still learn some of those things, but it's not physical. You know, keep in mind, when your child is sitting for hours, and I've seen kids sit for hours playing video games, sitting for hours, that we never did that. We were up running around, jumping, getting that heart rate up, getting that metabolism built, you know, and I just don't know where kids in the future, how they're going to end up, because they just sit for hours and hours and hours. So anyway, so there's that physical exercise that builds up our immune system, and, you know, we didn't get to really, you know, we got colds back then, you know, you got a cold. I mean, there were other diseases that were out, polio and what have you. But with the average kid, you know, you got a cold, you took a bear aspirin. I remember when bear aspirin were, like, created pretty much. And you take a bear aspirin and you go to bed, or you drink some Father John's, or, you know, your mother would rub you with Vicks, or your mother, your father, whomever, grandmother, whatever, aunt, uncle, you know, whoever was your caregiver, you know, big sister. And I know people had all types of situations going on back then as well, not as much as now, but we did have those scenarios where, you know, the biological parents weren't the caregivers. They weren't the guardian. But anyway, so transforming a life. So we may need to transform our wellness, our exercise. Get that. I have a friend, she does Pilates. She's here in Hillside. And she does Pilates, and she teaches, and she helps women going through menopause to, you know, get, you know, their body also well. And wellness is also another big business. I think they said it's in the trillions. Wellness is now in the trillions of dollars. It's a trillions of dollar industry, wellness, you see. But transforming, so people say, well, Elisa, you know, who are you to talk about transformation? And, you know, how do you consider yourself or call yourself an expert in transformation? Well, here's what Malcolm Gladwell said. If you read his book, Outliers, in Malcolm's book, he talks about how he gives a definition for expertise, and his definition has been bought into by a lot of scholarly people. And, you know, the reason we listen to scholarly people is because they've done the research. So they're not just going off of their feelings and their own personal opinions. They've actually backed up their facts with research. And so Malcolm Gladwell says that if you do something for 40,000 hours, or roughly about 40,000 hours, that makes you an expert. Is it 40,000 or 10,000? Maybe it's 10,000. Yeah, it's 10,000. Yeah, I take that back. Not 40,000 hours. 10,000. 10,000 hours of doing something roughly makes you an expert. So you figure if you work 40 hours a week, that's going to be 40 hours a week. You know, in a year time, that'll be probably a little over 1,000, because if there were 10 months, you know, 4 times 10, that would be 4,000. So 40 times 10, that would be 4,000 if you were talking about, well, there's 4 months. There's 4 weeks in a So that's 4 times 4 is 16. So, yeah. So, yeah, I think it comes out to about 10,000 hours. That makes you an expert, which I think it comes out to, somehow it turns out to be somewhere around, well, you have your calculators there, so you can do the math. I had the numbers all straight, but somehow I'm getting them mixed up. But let's see. I got my calculator right here. So 40,000, 40 hours times, there's 4 weeks, right? Well, we just say times 52 weeks, right? Let's just do 52 weeks. That way, keep it nice and easy, nice and straight. So 40,000, pull out your calculators. Most of you have them on your phone. So 40 hours times 52 weeks a year equals 2,000. And so 2,000 times 5, we already know, gives us a little bit over 10,000. So, yeah, so for about 5 years, he says. So that's about 5 years. If you were to do something that amount of time, that would qualify you to be an expert in it, right? So transformation and transforming lives in those various areas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show is, you know, if you do those for more than 10,000 hours, it pretty much makes you an expert. So I've been doing these things since I was 4. So, yeah, that's why I consider myself an expert. So in what areas, I would say, Michelle? So, yeah, when you go from, you know, high school dropout to PhD candidate, then, you know, that's pretty much gives you, that's a huge transformation. Going from a high school dropout, having to go back to school, first got a GED, then going back to school, getting an associate degree, then that's another 4 years. Then going back to school, getting a bachelor's degree, then going back to school, getting an MBA, going back to school, and enrolling in a PhD program, being accepted in a PhD program, not once but twice, being accepted in 2 PhD programs, that is phenomenal. That is transformation, because there are some people who dropped out of high school and they didn't transform into that. So, and then another area of transformation would be, you know, bad relationship to a wonderful marriage. And so these are, so I've experienced these transformations. I've gone from homeless. There was a time in my life when I was homeless, living on the street, no place, no key anywhere, no address. No key, no address. I was homeless. You know, I couldn't say I was living with my mother because I wasn't living with my mother. I couldn't say I was living with the city. I didn't have an address, and anybody could mail me anything. I was homeless. Then, now I'm homeowner. So, again, a huge transformation, right? So I could go on and on. I have several more. So I'm showing you that, yes, I have the right to say I'm an expert at life transformations. I could also talk about the spiritual transformation. Spiritually, I went from the worst kind of heathen that you could imagine. I mean, it was beyond what you've read in most Bible scriptures, the life I was living. I'm serious. I kid you not. It was really horrible. To, as a matter of fact, I have I have 3 preaching engagements and other churches, not just my home church, where you may suspect that there they would allow you to preach. But no, these are outside of my home church. And at first, when I first began to not get so many speaking engagements in my home church, but I was getting quite a few in outside churches, at first, my first inclination was to feel some type of way. Like, okay, God, what's going on here? I'm not being used right here where it's my home. But of course, you know, Jesus said a prophet is never without honor, never without honor, except in their own home. So first of all, it backs up scripture very nicely. And so you just sometimes have to accept that. And then secondly, I mean, how awesome is that? That people outside of your area would honor you and recognize you for what a skill or talent that you have. So, yeah, but again, just showing you the transformation, Now, I say all these things is not to brag. Believe me, you, I don't have to do that. But I want to impress upon you the seriousness of what I'm talking about here, which is how to transform your life. And I suspect that many of you can also look at your own life and see how it has transformed in any one of those areas, whether it's health, wellness, finances, relationship, success, and just success. Some people were, they know, they were a flat-out hot mess, and now they're very successful. They have a good life, and they are doing things that are wonderful. They're a part of many organizations. They go around helping other people achieve their goals in life and their success. Maybe some people, I did leave out family. I didn't mention a family transformation because some people, and I know a lot of people like this, they were young and made some bad decisions, and sometimes they ended up, you know, with children by people that just flat out denied the child, walked off and left them, or what have you. And the person, instead of giving that child up for adoption or abortion or whatever, they went on and they had their child. They didn't have any money. They had to sacrifice their education, and they sacrificed all that and made a huge transformation, and that they raised that child to be something great and wonderful. And now those children or child or whatever, they are very grown, successful. One of my best stories I remember being told was there was a woman who she had come from another country, and she had her and her small children. She had no money. She couldn't speak English, neither could her children. She enrolled her children, you know, in school, so her children were learning English. I think they were down in the Texas area. And she also went back to school. She went to the local county college where they were teaching English as a second language. She struggled and struggled and struggled, and she learned that language. But she all the while, you know, promoted success to her two children. I believe there were two sons, I believe. She could constantly promote education. They ended up growing up, one a doctor, one a lawyer. They purchased her homes and cars. They were so gracious to her, to their mother, for what their mom had done. But meanwhile, mom went to that community college to get her ESL, was getting her English as a second language classes, but she ended up looking around at the college and enrolling in the college, deciding that, wow, this is an awesome place. She ended up doing well, getting involved with Phi Theta Kappa. She got straight A's, and she was like, had her own PhD. So there are people who have these life transformations with their children. I've met plenty of people just like her. And maybe you know people like that. And so these are people. So what does it take? How do you transform your life? So, again, it starts with the mindset. You first just have to simply make up your mind. If you can't change your mind, you can't change your life. If you always think what you've always thought, you'll always have what you have right now. Yeah, I'll say that again. You've heard that probably for the first time right here on the LaLisa Show. If you always think what you always thought, you'll always have what you have right now. And you've heard it somewhat different. You've probably heard people say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll, well, I'm not saying, I'm changing it. I'm transforming it before your very eyes. I'm transforming it to something that goes a little bit deeper than doing, and that's thinking. Because the Word of God says we will have, it says we are what we think we are. As a man thinketh, so is he. That's the scripture. So we are what we think we are. So, you know, you got to think. You got to get the mind has to first be ready for that transformation. All you have to do is think it. If you can think it, you can achieve it. I guarantee it. It is my guarantee. Can you believe that I can guarantee something? Why? I've just given you example after example after example of where my life has transformed. I'm going to give you one last transformation to hopefully solidify and make this case for me being the expert in transformations. I came to New Jersey. I had nothing. I had the first job I got was a one-day temp assignment as a file clerk. I went down to Olsten's, and because I had taken a business course before at Betts Business School back in the 70s, I had taken that business course, and though it was 9 months, I worked that nine-month program like it was a PhD. You know, you couldn't have told me anything about I was 9 months as a clerk typist is what the title of that training was. Well, that was in the 70s. Well, I came to New Jersey about 10, 12 years later. It was in the late 80s, around 87, 88. 10 years later, I was still working that nine-month training program. And I went down to Olsten's, which was downtown Newark, on 50 Park Place. Some of y'all that's been around Newark a while, you know what I'm talking about. That was Olsten's. Olsen's is not around. Well, they may be around, but they've been bought out by Pomerantz, and Pomerantz is probably bought out by someone else, or they bought out by somebody. But it was Olsten's, and they were temporary agencies. At that time, in the 80s, 70s, temporary agencies were pretty new. Nowadays, almost people, I don't even know if a lot of people even still use them or know about them, but I knew about them because of my mother, because she was into things like that, and she told me about the temp agency. So I had worked for the temp agencies in Cincinnati. So when I moved to New Jersey, I said, you know what, I'm not going to go there and be a bum on the street. I'm going to go to the temp agency. Well, I knew to go there in a nice outfit because you're going to apply for a job and first impressions are lasting. So I go there in my suit-like outfit. I didn't go down there with a head rag on my head and flip-flops and, you know, stretchy pants. No. And those were just coming out, too, by the way, in the late 80s. And a lot of women were wearing those. But anyway, so I went down there to their office. They gave me a typing test. Around that time, I could type about 40 words a minute without errors. I took the typing test. And back then, you didn't have to do a whole lot of other type tests. So I took the typing test. And they said they had a one-day, they had some other high-level clerical jobs in the banks and probably PSE&G, but I was new. I had only been in Newark one day, so I didn't know about all those companies yet. And I was here one day, and I went to the temp agency, and one day, I got to make that clear, okay, I came in on a Thursday, Friday morning. I didn't wait till Monday, y'all. I didn't go out and party because I'm in New Jersey. Let me go see what New York is about. No, I came in town Thursday. Friday morning, I was at Olsten's. And I went there and I took the test. And they said, we have a one-day assignment for you for Monday as a file clerk. And will you take it? I said, sure, I'll take it. And I'll come back after the one day if you got something else. So I went there and you'd heard the rest of the story. They offered me the job that day. But I worked there for 5 years, and as a file clerk, that was then, but I've transformed my life. Now I'm the assistant to the vice president for academic affairs. So I say all that to say I went from having a file clerk or typist, and as of this week, I now manage a clerk typist. Well, we don't call her clerk typist. She's called clerical assistant. But it's the same job. So it's so apropos. I mean, it's really weird that I walk into an office. Now I'm the supervisor over a person who is close to the age that I was when I got my job. And so talk about transformations. I'm making the case for the fact that I know I'm an expert at transforming your life. So if you want to be able, if you heard something here today and you want to know more about how to transform your life, go to my website, CoachLalisa.com. There is something there that you can look at or something there that will help you transform your life. Or you can go to my other website, release-your-power.com. There you can also find some information there to help you transform your life. Or maybe you know other people. Maybe you work in a halfway house. Maybe you work in a group home. Maybe you work at a school. Maybe you work at a college. Maybe you work in a hospital. Maybe you work somewhere. Maybe you work at Walmart. It doesn't matter. But maybe you work around people who need to transform their lives. You've tried to help them. They don't seem to be getting it. Maybe it's your own family members. Maybe you all are having a family reunion. I'd be glad to come. Give a talk. Give a little some steps on how people can transform their lives. And those steps are found in the book, Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are. So those are the steps that I use to transform people's lives. And that's the teaching. That's the teaching. That's how I teach it. It's through that book. So the first chapter is Choosing to Change. As I said, you have to want to change. And the second chapter is how to make a self-assessment. So how to assess where you are. Because if you don't know where you are, you may have a hard time figuring out where you're going. You see, you don't just start off, I'll go somewhere. No, let's take an assessment. Let's see where I am, what I have, what am I taking with me. It's like anybody goes on a vacation, goes on a trip. They don't just jump in the car and go. At first, you have to pack. Before you pack, you have to see what you have. Before you see what you have, you have to see what you need. You go into Aruba versus going to Canada. You need different things. So that's what the self-assessment is about. What do you need for your journey? Hello? Okay, so that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope you got something out of the show. Don't forget, we're just a couple days away from the full launch of the Be Better Challenge. I want you to take the challenge. I have a website already ready to go. I have a Facebook page ready to go. I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to help people transform their lives so they can be better, have better, be better, do better, live better, just be better. And make everybody around you. See, when you're better, inherently, everyone around you is better. Trust me. I know this. Love you. It's been Coach Lalisa. God bless you for tuning in. And I noticed some of you forgot to tell your friends. You forgot to give out the number. So I'll give it to you one more time, 347-945-7991. Please share it. Let somebody call in. If you have a burning comment or question, I think I may be able to slide about another 30 seconds out to you. If you just hit your number one key, I'll open up your phone line, but you would have to keep your comments less than 30 seconds. But 30 seconds is a long time. Believe me, I know this. So if you have something and you have to get it off your chest, something you wanted to say, get it off your mind, share it with the audience, please. We do have people that are listening to this broadcast every morning. And by the way, I thank you so much for those of you who tune in. It's for you that I get up every morning an hour early so I can get halfway ready for work so that I could be here to do this for you. And those of you who know I'm on my way to work, I absolutely love my job. But I love you too. So take care. God bless. That's all we have time for. See you back here tomorrow for my big, big, big talk. But it's a secret. It's the secret, but you got to tell people about it. It's a secret that you're allowed to share, okay? So tell everybody. She's going to be talking about the secret tomorrow. You got to tune in. I promise you, you want to hear this. God bless.